I choose these words because it does indeed cut to the chase of the purpose and the meaning of this history. The children of Israel were about to cross over the River Jordan, which normally is no big deal, but at harvest time, when the snowpack is melting on Mount Lebanon, the river widens tremendously. And to lead a population of over 1 million, up to 2 million people across that river was a very big event. Now, it took only one night for the Israelites to come out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the people. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. It is a privilege to come again and bring the Lord's Word wherever you may be today. And I trust that there will be a knitting of hearts as we share the gospel of the Lord Jesus. There is no more personal communication than to speak to one another about the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And as we come here to this book of Joshua, to learn of God's saving and sanctifying power within our lives. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It is not some weak theory. It is a life-changing, transforming gospel. And I ask you to stay tuned and hear God's word today. Because this power is not in men. It is the power of God attending his word. And so as we read the scriptures and as we preach the book, grant, Lord, that there may be grace to each and every heart. Well, just let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord to work that within us today. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee for your Son. We thank thee for this opportunity to share these things in freedom and liberty. And we ask that you will, by your Spirit, minister to each heart. Prepare hearts. Take away that deafness of hearing. Take away that irritableness. And may there be a calm resignation to the will of God and to thy word. And so I pray that you will speak graciously and powerfully to each heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Into the third chapter, to this marvelous history of Israel crossing the Red Sea. And it's a history of great lessons. And I can't emphasize enough that this is not just a history book. This is a teaching book. And these miracles that happened in real time, in real places, that they are recorded, and indeed they were providentially ordained, that they would become pictures to help the Christian in every generation, even in this 21st century, to live the Christian life. And so what we learn here about Joshua, about his faith, about his commands to the people, and the miracle of God drying up the Jordan, enabling Israel to cross on dry ground, to enter into the Canaan land, that has great symbols and lessons for what God will do for you and me, even today in our lives. That's the wonderful thing about the Bible. It's never just history. It's His story. And it's a story of what God can do for us when we learn to trust Him and learn to live for Him. So take this to heart today as we come to Joshua 3, verse 1. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits of measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people." And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hevites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, field, and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Thank you for joining with us on the program. We're moving now to our pulpit ministry, Joshua chapter 3.
A sanctified people expect the Lord to work mighty things in their midst. And they are willing to give up the old life for the new. They're to cross over the Jordan, which was, of course, the symbol, the way of death. Now, some take this as a type of the Christian entering into heaven. And I'm not going to have any big dispute with someone who does that. There are times when it might be fitting in its context. But more strictly, this crossing the Jordan is the picture of God's people going from the life of the flesh in the wilderness into the life of victory and conquering into the land of Canaan. And Jordan is therefore the picture of death, of dying to self, sanctify ourselves, and rising in the newness of life. Consistently in the Bible, those who are identified with Jordan, well, they are often identified also with death. Elijah, for example. And I need to take you to 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8. And you will see here that Elijah also divided the waters of Jordan. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8. Let's just read the text. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Here's another miracle of crossing the Jordan on dry ground. And it preceded the death, or should we say the rapture of Elijah, because immediately, Elijah is taken up into heaven. And it says in verse 9, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I will do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And so Elijah is going to be taken up to heaven. He's crossing over the Jordan, and it's going to be a new life of service transferring to Elisha. So we see the picture. And then, of course, in Jordan, the Lord Jesus had his baptism. I'm sure you're familiar with that, Matthew 3, where the Lord under John the Baptist went down into Jordan, was baptized, and when he came out of the waters, the Holy Spirit descended, and he began his earthly ministry from that day forward, preaching the gospel. And so Jordan is the end of the old life and the beginning of a new life of service. And I want that for you. That's my burden today as we come to Joshua 3, that you would not live on and on a wilderness life, but that you would live in victory, that you would gain ground, that you would possess the possessions which are yours in Christ Jesus. Now, these sanctified people, they expected God to lead them over the Jordan. And they were told to prepare their stuff, prepare their families. And it meant to believe in God to lead them over the Jordan, which was fast flowing. It was wide. It was difficult to pass, especially for such a multitude of people. And it meant resignation to what God was going to do on their behalf. That's what sanctification is. That's what it is to sanctify yourself. Wait on God to go before you, to open up the way, and to work his will. You'll see in verse 4 that the verse goes on to say that you are to Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. Now that is where heartfelt faith comes in. God leading you in a new direction. And this is future. It says tomorrow. So today, sanctify yourselves. Wash, prepare, cleanse. Seek God. Trust in Him. Tomorrow, you are going a way that you've never gone before, and the Lord will go before you. And all of this was marvelously fulfilled. And this is for our learning. Because when you travel the Christian life, tomorrow is a way that you've never gone before. And many of God's people in many situations find that they are in new territory on a different pathway. And God leads you and calls you to go through a new phase of life, a way that you've never gone before. It might be moving home. And with all of that, it's going to involve many, many decisions. New church, new friends, new opportunities, giving up and cutting off old things. And for that, you need to sanctify yourself. You need to trust how the Lord is going to lead you. For some, it might be marriage, and you haven't gone that way before. And it's going to mean a whole change in life. Or a new job. You've got an opportunity, and it's providential, staring you in the face, that this is God's will for you. And very often, God does that. The thing that He provides, you may never even have expected, but it's so obviously right. It's like God's command, go over. And you must do it. How do you do it? Sanctify yourselves. For some, it might be illness or infirmity of the body. And you know that it's not going to change. The limitations that you have now with this new physical problem, it's not going to go away. You have to live with it. And it means a whole adjustment. How can you do it? Sanctify yourself. Trust in the Lord to lead you over. It might even be death. And of course, death is called the valley of the shadow of death. And the Lord has promised that when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. Now, that great promise in Isaiah 43, I tied into that what happened to the Israelites as they went through the Red Sea. And God made the waters to stand on both sides. And they went through that dry seabed. It was a valley. And to the Christian, death is the valley of the shadow of death. But the Lord says, I will be with thee. And He leads us across to the other side. That's the hope of the Christian. How do you prepare for that? Sanctify yourselves. Set yourself as separate unto the Lord. Cleanse yourself. Prepare for that hour. For some, it might be bereavement. And God has called you to ask, travel away that you would never ask for. But it's His providence. And through the sorrow and the trial of bereavement, the Lord says, go over, go on, and I will be with you. I will open up the way ahead. Indeed, He promises to be a husband to the widow. And then there are untold uncertainties that everyone has to go over. And this is how we sanctify ourselves, that we might be known as peculiar to the Lord, separate unto him. Now think on this truth. By setting ourselves apart to God, he will lead us across our Jordan, your Jordan. And I want you to have the comfort of that. What a terrible thing to see Christians miserable, burdened, fearful, when we have this expectation that the Lord will lead us over. Think of the great promise to Israel, I will be with thee. The water shall not overflood thee. Now, sanctified people also expect to have God's presence with them. If you look down at verse 6, you will see when they were called to sanctify themselves, and Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant. Now, this was the symbol of God's presence with his people. And by the way, this was the end of the cloud. For 40 years, they had the benefit of the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. That was a supernatural leading and mark of God's presence with his people in the wilderness. But now that was over. And the symbol of God's presence was the ark. And the priests were to take that ark in the front. And they were to go down into the river, stepping into the very water. God would divide it or hold back the water. And the priest with the ark of the covenant would be down in the riverbed. And while the ark was there, the people were to pass over. That was the evidence of God being present with his people. Now, we don't have the Ark of the Covenant. In fact, the Ark of the Covenant is no more. It was stolen from Jerusalem AD 71. It was transported away, never to be known again. We don't have the pillar of cloud. We don't have the Ark of the Covenant. But we have Christ, God in the flesh, tabernacling among us. He's our Emmanuel, God with us. And he has promised that where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. He walks in the midst of the candlestick. And so the Christian church, the people of God, can expect that where we meet in Jesus' name, that the Lord will be in the very midst. And we need to look to the Lord. Now, this is very important today because there are many people, they want the dramatic. They want something like the cloud. They want some object to lead them. But who is our banner? It is Christ himself who's in the midst. And remember that inside that Ark of the Covenant, there were the Ten Commandments, the testimony. And we have the Word of God. And it's where this Word is honored and preached that we have God's blessing. And so the Lord is with us. And a people who sanctify themselves, they expect to have and to enjoy the very presence of the Lord. Now, some people treat the Bible very haphazardly. And they think that they can neglect it day after day or week after week, and then suddenly they can come and read a few verses and God will speak to them. No, we need to sanctify ourselves. And we need to hear the Lord's word. Notice in verse 9 that this is exactly what Joshua did. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Now that's deliberate. That is to gather together with purpose. And we need that attitude when we come to read and study and be guided by God's word. We need the Psalm 119 attitude. If you ever read Psalm 119, it's It's filled with attitude of devotion to the Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. That's the Psalm 119 attitude. And that's what it is to set yourself apart, to sanctify yourself and handle God's Word as your map and as your guide. Now, are you doing that? Firstly, are you a Bible reader? This is where it starts. You are not going to follow men. In fact, let me point something out. In verse 4, they were to put a space between themselves of about 2,000 cubits by measure and the Ark of the Covenant. 2,000 cubits. That's about 3/4 of a mile, somewhere between a half a mile and 3/4 of a mile. Now think of the vast number of people who were looking to that Ark for guidance, to know when to move, to know where to go. If they were all crammed up around it, very few would see or even be able to observe the Ark. But when they kept a significant distance between the people and the Ark, they each could see. They could keep their eyes on that Ark of the Covenant. They knew when it moved. They knew when the water divided. They knew when the priests were in the middle of the river and they got the command to pass over. And you and I are to keep our eyes on the Lord. Sanctify yourselves. Don't be looking to the world. Don't be distracted by the many things of this world. Sanctify yourselves and expect the Lord to be with you and expect the Lord to lead you and guide you. For us by His Word. Are you doing that?
Thank you sincerely for joining in and being a part of our program here today. Our time is running out quickly. We're coming up to the announcements, but I do look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located 2 blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.